life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
And welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. And thanks for joining us. For those with us for the first time, what makes Spirit's Work so unique is that every week Mick demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group. I started yodeling then. You never knew that I could do that. And they are here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. And this week's show is called Gifted Children. So if you'd like to participate and call us with a question or comment, it's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And it's 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST, that is. That's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you would like to know more about us, our books, CDs, book and Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are www.spirit-teaching.com and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which means that I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so that they can give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized were available to us. When I go into the trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back, and that is how it should always be with this kind of communication, because we wouldn't want thoughts and feelings from my own mind getting in the way of the contact with the spirit world. Anyway, I'm going to say goodbye for this week, and
it's like that for Mick.
Yes.
Gregory was asked before his physical life in the early 1700s if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group who are going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life. The group wants us to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet, to aid us on a road to recovery and raise the vibration of the planet. They consist of eminent scientists, physicists and scholars, as well as ordinary people, and between them they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, to think outside of the box, and explain situations that affect us and our future and the future of the planet. And, of course, those who wish to come after us who haven't had a chance of a physical life yet. If you would like to know more about us, as Mick said, our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, and we do still have our reductions on our Akashic readings. If anybody would like to email me any questions about that, I'd be more than happy to tell you about that. But, as I said, this week's show is about gifted children. And I'd like to welcome Gregory now. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend. With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway.
Thank you. So, well, this could go all over the place, couldn't it, really? Gifted children, my. And we've actually talked quite a bit about, indigo children, crystal children in the past. this week I was actually thinking, well, mind you, our listeners can phone up and ask questions about anything to do with gifted children or children in general. That would be absolutely fine. But I'd like to sort of like steer more toward something that comes up quite often in our work, and that is that we come across children who are very, very psychic and have lots of mediumistic qualities and gifts. And this can be a problem for parents, can't it? And a problem for children. You know, the parameters and possibly the parents have, you know, this is all totally new to them. Very often this is the case. So I thought it would be really, really good for maybe that we can help, or you can help, people in this situation.
Yes, I would be privileged to be able to do that. The point here really is that we recognize many people struggle with the whole concept, possibly. I'm not talking here about people who are already immersed in it, or who are already perhaps well-versed with certain aspects of the spirit world, and perhaps bring this about as a course for their own livelihoods and a course for their own situation in physical life. I understand full well the meaning interpreted within this, that many people would say, ah yes, well, these children are sent here in order to do a particular task or whatever. And many times you would hear of people, particularly of mediumistic quality, who are saying that they were gifted from birth and that in fact they had designed to make this journey per se. This really is not the bracket of people that we are concerned with here. What we're really talking about is actually to do with ordinary families. These may well be people who come from quite normal backgrounds. The parents, both of them, may have nothing whatsoever to do with the spirit world, may have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with any slant of it, of any aspect to do with the spirit world. It may even be that they actually come from quite a closeted form of religion or faith. And that then, of course, leads these children into all kinds of dilemmas and all kinds of confrontations too, to do with the family's belief system, if not even to do with the child's own searching, and how then they must come to terms with the juxtaposition between the fact that of their knowledge of the spirit world, because they're having all of this interactivity going on in their lives and they don't really know how to coordinate it, how to stop it, how to turn it on. They just react to the situations and find themselves very quickly, sometimes in very deep water, really completely out of their depth and just simply making the wrong decisions and not really knowing exactly what to do with their lives or how to organize it in a sensible way. And that's not trying to put parameters on the child in order to stifle their relationship, their beautiful relationship with the spirit world, but actually to help them to enhance it so that they are able to be able to use that gift of spirit in a real and true beneficial way. It has to be in service, of course. That's a part of the point of doing this. But, however, it's also to recognize those gifts that these children may have and not to be afraid of it, and for them not to be afraid of it as well. I think that's a very important point to make.
Well, I think the interesting situation, I think, is that even if the parents are already involved with spirit matters, as in at least not involved per se themselves, but aware, you know,
yes,
then it's still a very delicate scenario how much to encourage a child or not.
Yes, and also, of course, depending upon the amount of information that that parent has and the rationale behind that information, it may be that it's completely bogus or incorrect. And as we can see from our vantage point, the minefield of this kind of interpretation, which is open to all manner of views and opinions, oftentimes can lead people into quite difficult circumstances for their own development and also put at risk their own well-being, in actual fact. So these kinds of practices are really needing to be put into perspective, and also the child's welfare be utmost of importance in this situation.
Yes, so basically we want the child to actually flourish and bloom in their gifts, but obviously it has to be curtailed in some way, doesn't it? And how do you, you know, at what age, is there an age that you would say, well, now they're old enough, and I think this is the problem.
Yes, now, first of all, then, let's talk about this curtailing. We're not trying to stifle the child, but what we're saying here is that what children need to be is to learn that they are the instrument of it. That doesn't mean to say they leave themselves open to it all day long, because quite clearly they could be open to all and sundry. Now, I understand from this point of view that many people may say, well, I know that the spirit world are always coming from the light and from love, and therefore there's never ever going to be any problem, particularly if you come from certain specific schools of thought who think like that and think that everything is controlled by the angels and everything is fluffy white clouds and perfectly all right. I'm afraid to say that these are the situations which then tend to let in or possibly entertain individuals that from the spirit world that you may encounter whom you do not actually know the veracity of their identity. All of this is really to do about the situation of communication between the physical world and the spirit world with identities of entities that you understand who you're communicating with. And I'm not talking about Angel Michael. I'm not talking about any other ascended being. I'm talking here about specific energies who are perhaps saying that they are this or that person, and that you need to verify exactly who they are. So the situation has to begin that you learn of these identities, that they are, of course, very loving, not overly so, but that this is something which is not a particularly a physical contact, but something which is very gentle and embracing.
Well, let's talk about the sort of situations that can happen that we're talking about exactly. So we're talking about, say, for instance, children seeing spirit, having conversations with spirit entities.
Yes.
And that sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely.
They can see them, they can have conversations with them, and so very often when it's a child, it can be a relative, can't it?
Yes, to begin with. Uncle or grandfather is sitting at the bottom of the bed, and that is perfectly well and good and happy, because as long as the child is perfectly all right with it and understands it, it's not a fearsome encounter, it's not anything which is going to hurt them, and they can begin the communication process with that loving energy. This means to say then that it starts upon the right foot. If it is perhaps that this then continues to develop gradually, it can be over quite a long period of time. There is nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with your daughter or son who actually sees individuals at the bottom of their bed, so long as they know who they are and are quite happy with that energy being there present. It's usually as well a good idea to actually bring about this understanding of exactly who the identity is, not to become worried over it, because that in itself throws out dystopic energy toward the child and can only possibly send alarm bells to that child as to their own state of well-being. So you really want to make sure that what you present is going to be something which is very loving and positive to your child.
It actually starts as a baby, doesn't it?
Yes.
because you said before that very often the baby, when you think that they're looking around the room and reaching out, they're actually reaching out to maybe a spirit child or something. Or
yes, either.
That is actually that they can see.
Yes, either ancestors or maybe even if it's a young family, it will be other spirit children who are perhaps waiting to have a life with that particular family. Maybe pending brothers and sisters.
That's so cute, isn't it? That's wonderful.
Well, yes, absolutely so. Especially, too, I would have to say, with particularly loving couples, particularly people who have great insight to do with children's welfare and that kind of thing, actually sparks a different kind of energy, you see? And I suppose it's part of the reason why children who are born in chaotic households or households where there is great distress and anguish, oftentimes it will be that the children pick up on this fractious state, and therefore it's actually quite difficult for other spirit beings to become attracted to that household. That's not to say that children who are born to violent families are actually somehow deficient in some way, or that their spirit is in some way ugly or whatever.
Mm.
Don't forget, all spirit, before they are having a physical life, are pure and beautiful as God is. And in actual fact, if you look at any child, no matter what their adult behavior has become, no matter what circumstances they create in physical life, the spirit within is still the same, beautiful and pure, and exactly the same as the aspect of the creation of all life, God, in your language maybe, is presenting itself as an energy.
So, very often you hear that children have a friend that they have as a child, a small child, that grows up with them,
yes.
And their guide or whatever, something
yes.
like that, but maybe their doorkeeper.
Yes.
Guardian angel, you call it what you like.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, that is something that is very comforting to the child, and, you know, if it's a loving energy, then that is all well and good, isn't it?
It's all that matters.
Absolutely.
Of course, yes. And that, how that continues in its way, will depend entirely upon the attraction of the child towards that energy, or the energy's attraction to the child. And so long as, of course, that this is in a moral code, in a way which is, as I say, very secure, in service and loving from the part of the spirit, because they're there, in fact, to help that child perhaps overcome a certain situation, or maybe they're just there purely as a part of their life experience, and that they're there as part of the signatory of that life.
Absolutely. If you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject of gifted children, then the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. The number is free phone 877-876-5227 in the USA. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call, and it's 001-530-876-3222. So what should a parent do if a child feels uncomfortable and shows signs of being adversely affected?
An interesting point, my friend. Well, first of all, of course, this is dependent, is it not, upon whether it's a relative tie or whether it is someone who's actually with this child as a doorkeeper or as a helper of some sort.
And also, yes, and also whether the child is being, you, in your view, is being adversely affected, or is it coming from you and your fear, or, you know, is the child quite happy?
Yes.
You know,
oh,
I mean, in whose eyes?
Oh, yes, absolutely, quite so, yes. So a parent must always take a very careful view of this and not jump to unnecessary confusion, the conclusions of one emotion or whatever taken in haste is oftentimes something which is deeply regretted afterward, and when it's in fact too late. the damage is already set. So one has to be extremely careful as a parent as to how to really accommodate this kind of situation. Now, it should be said that gradually the relationship between spirit and child will gradually evolve over a period of time. It would never be that the spirit would tell the child what to wear. That is the first thing.
You've always got a reason for saying that, particularly.
Yes. My reason for saying that is that many situations which happen between children and spirit, which then turn out to be adverse conditions, are generally there that they begin with the spirit actually telling the child what to wear, and then it will be what to eat. What clothes to put on, what to eat is a matter of control. There should not be a situation between the spirit helper and the child which brings about control from the spirit. It may be as a suggestion, of course, coming from the spirit, but who's to tell the child that? So one has to be very careful about how that is going to play out. The situation should be then that if you are a parent looking at this, then if there becomes a degree of control from the spirit world, then one could say that you would need to tread very carefully over this state of affairs. And you may well have to ask of this energy to step back as a parent. And you should be able to do that. And the spirit should respond in kind. Because this is a condition of service by the spirit. And if this is a true element of the relationship between the spirit and the child, then the spirit will just simply do the bidding of the parent. And it should not come about that the parent's wishes are undermined in any way by the spirit entity. I have to make this absolutely clear, because this does have to be a situation of given control. The consent has to come, in this case, from the parent. Now, if it's of a different situation, set up, family set up, where it's not actually the parents that are in control of the child, but that actually, legally, that the child is in some other family member, or maybe even under some other care arrangement, then it could quite easily be said that the child is possibly, in a sense, a little more, it's a little more adversarial, could possibly be a little more at risk, quite simply because of the fragility of the dynamics in which the child is operating. I'm not here to cast any negative situations toward anyone. I'm merely saying that human beings need to be responsible and need to be morally correct about what it is that they gather. I understand that morals may come from one's own genetic past or their religious intolerance that they have grown up with. This is something that you have to part with, I am afraid, in this kind of circumstance. So to all parents who may actually be encountering their child with some spirit entity, it will be that you have to leave your religious faith and observances on the side, unless, of course, you see this as a completely demonic, deranged situation, in which case, of course, you won't be listening to this program at all in any event.
Absolutely.
So, yes.
I was going to say, basically, we need these gifted children. The world needs these gifted children.
So,
but we have to try to marry their lives. They need to be children. They need to have a childhood.
Yes.
But it's important to hopefully to keep this the gift open and alive.
And nourished.
And nourished, absolutely nourished, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
So that it grows into something beautiful.
Absolutely so. As I say, the importance then is one about control. Now, as I said, I know that there are very many people who cite that it's the bee's knees to be open all of the time and to communicate with the angels and this person and that person. And it's all very lovely, but unfortunately, it's a precipice as well. And the reason for this is that this kind of energy then denies your own personal responsibility of what you're truly understanding is the whole universal paradigm, if you'd like. That is not to say that there is biblical forms of heaven and hell, but there are most certainly negative spirit, or rather should I say negative energies from physical life, which have coated beautiful pure spirit and made them of a much slower vibration. So slow, in fact, that they can just simply step from the spirit world straight in upon the earth plane. And it's actually much easier for them to be able to manifest some kind of physical interaction.
So, well, okay, so that's something that people need to learn how to deal with that. So basically, how does one not go around open to all and sundry in the spirit world, basically? But how do you tell a child that?
Well, just basically that, for example, a child has to be able to go to sleep when he or she wants to, has to be able to have a peaceful night's sleep rather than being molested or interfered with in any way by energies from the spirit world. It's very beautiful for a child to be able to have out-of-body experiences and also to be able to have really beautiful dream states with various energies from the spirit world. However, it is a necessity that children learn to disseminate one from another, and that they must be able to understand that there are differences in energy and therefore differences in vibration, as simply there are differences between human beings. This will be something which comes gradually. So if a child then, for example, comes down and reports in the morning that I had this or that dream and I was taken to this or that place, whatever it was, and however that transcribes out this little scenario, it can be something which is obviously either wonderful and beautiful. Perhaps they were taken to somewhere really lovely and that they were shown different things or something like that. There's no harm in this. And provided that the child is perfectly happy with it, then all is well. However, if you begin to see marked changes of degradation in some way, then you know that there is a problem. And as a parent, you really need to look at this as a part of your own pathway of responsibility to make sure that the different forms of contact are taking place are quite all right. I'm talking here, of course, about quite young children, and I'm not saying that as an adult you should just sit by and let your child communicate with all and sundry and who knows what. So this situation has to be very carefully thought about on the part of the parent. For example, there are children who may be perhaps watching a program or something like that upon in your media system that you have. And it may well be that the program deals with such things as Ouija boards or something like that.
Hello, caller.
Hi, it's Bernie here from Bristol.
Oh, hi, Bernie.
Hiya.
Hello, we know Bernie.
Hello,
Gregory. I've missed a lot of the show, unfortunately, but I know it was on Gifted Children tonight, and there was a question that I wanted to put to Gregory, and I don't even know if it's been covered yet, to be quite honest.
Please go on.
At the moment, I've got two two teenage young girls come to me, and they've been playing with the Ouija board. And I'd like you to explain a bit more about the do's and don'ts about that, because they've got themselves into a right pickle, to be quite honest. And apparently, you know, other members in the school and other schools are doing the same. It's like the in thing to be doing, because they've seen it on TV in seances and things like that. You know, and it's quite worrying to know that this is going on. And I wanted to know if you could just shed some light on that for them, hopefully anybody that's listening that's wanted to tamper with it, not to do it.
Yes, absolutely so. I will be happy to, my dear friend.
Thank you.
Now, the situation then is that with these kinds of interactions, the children themselves, of course, never really know exactly who it is that they are communicating with. Of course, it may well be that the communicator, the spirit communicator who comes through the board itself and it becomes something of a... It may well be that the person is very pliant to begin with, that the energy, spirit energy, is very giving, perhaps even saying the right words, pushing the right buttons in order to allow the children themselves to really feel engaging with this spirit energy, with this entity. It's always a very great problem with Ouija boards and that kind of thing. Crystals are exactly the same. Pendants and pendulums, all kinds of instruments like that, are very often extremely difficult to use, and that you can never really truly be sure that the spirit energy is actually going to be who they say they are. Oftentimes it will be, in fact, that they are actually using a surrogate in some way, and what they're trying to do is to bring about a sort of a feeling of confidence by the children so that they will let them in to their lives, so that they will let the spirit communicator into their lives. And that is when the problem begins. And what, of course, how this begins in this state is usually because the children don't say an opening prayer or invocation, asking for the highest and best, asking for their guides, highest guides and helpers second to none, to bless them, keep them safe at this time, that they wish to communicate with the spirit world. And oftentimes it will be a sort of a game of bravado in order to do this. And then, of course, the first time that they get a reaction from the board, it's an actual physical interaction, don't forget. So, and it's a very real situation. As I said, what oftentimes can happen is that energies very close to the Earth physical vibration are the ones usually most able to be able to communicate via the board, via a Ouija board. And this means to say that this kind of communication is inherent in its risk. And it doesn't matter whether you say it's a Ouija board for angels or whatever it is. The whole thing is exactly the same. And it's you are really dealing with a very difficult energy here, a very difficult energy problem. So I would have to say, my dear friends, that these tend to be the first situations that children of this nature get into. These children in particularly that you are referring to, my dear friend, are actually extremely gifted. One in particular is very gifted, in fact, as we have understood already. And the situation is that with these kinds of energies, you are really dealing with extremely potent and bring about a great importance to the level of the possibility of communication that may come about. This comes at a time as well which is extremely difficult, because the children themselves are actually immersed, not controlled by, a certain very strict kind of faith, a cultural faith, really. And so this also comes as a backdrop. They thought that they would be perfectly all right and perfectly risk-free in being able to do this, because, of course, they are well protected by whatever articles of their faith tend to lead them into that way of thinking. So how you're going to deal with this then is a very difficult matter of extrication, quite simply because what you have to do is to undo the level of communication and the interaction. This actually has to be done through healing. It has to be done with communication with the spirit entity by mediums, that is, people who are identified, such as yourself, and people who are actually well-versed in such matters. These are not matters of just cutting the cord. Please, do not do this. Do not try to incite God or a Bible upon these people. Do not try to say that or think that by cutting some kind of etheric bead that is supposed to be attached between the spirit and the child who is suffering from such antagonism, that these spirit are simply going to go back to where they came from. They're not. It's a long-term situation that has to be unraveled, and the energy has to be dislocated from the child. As I say, it's not an easy task. And the best thing, the best within the world, is to actually bring about a proper and true form of education for children to really understand how they may very dutifully and carefully communicate with the spirit world.
Bernie?
Yeah, that's really helpful. You know, another thing I wanted to point out there too, Gregory, is, you know, when I was talking to one of the young ladies and she was telling me, yes, obviously, that they gained her confidence at first by tricking her on the boards. And then she discovered that they weren't quite who they said they were. And this particular person revealed his life, what he'd done here on the earth plane, and it wasn't very savoury. Yet they still carried on communicating with this person. And I said, you know, if you were walking down the road and some chap come up to you and said that he'd done what this other chap has said he'd done, you wouldn't, you know, for 1 minute entertain him. You'd be gone. And I couldn't understand why they'd still do that with the board, because they don't see it as being real. It's their realization there, they can't just grasp how real this is and how dangerous the Ouija board really is.
Yes, I understand, my dear friend. Unfortunately, I believe that this is a part of the problem of your age, my dear friend. I don't mean your age. I mean to say the actual time of history in which you live. Because children at this time, I understand from our views of it, of children's behavior, is that they really have come adrift from what is reality and what is fact and what is fiction. Now, clearly, how it had been displayed upon the television set is that things of extreme negativity and of evil and all of that kind of thing is something which is mythological. So it's something which actually doesn't have concrete, doesn't have flesh within their own thinking. They just think that this is just simply another game. They've seen it on television. It's exactly the same as when they see an actor who is who passes in a film or something like that, and then reappears in another film. So it actually makes for the child thinking that this is actually not a sedentary energy, that this is just something which is just like the rest of life, really, that appears to be disconnected. And this is part of the problem, you see, that you have to be able to educate children that in actual fact, the real world is like this.
So how does this manifest itself with these children, then? I mean, obviously, you know, these beings or whatever are still with them since they did the Ouija board.
Yes.
Bernie?
Yeah, sorry, is it me? Yes. They come to me for help individually, and they were playing with the Ouija board, and they've done it quite a few times, actually, and then all of a sudden everything started going wrong, you know, but it was too late by then because they'd got a good contact going there.
Yes. So what they were bothering them at home and that sort of thing?
But they're bothering them at home in their sleep state, even at school now, and within their homes. Even the parents are feeling it as well. It's really escalating here.
Oh, yes, quite so.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely so. And but also, my dear friend, you will find that eventually you will also find that the beings who they say they are aren't really who they say they are. They're actually
exactly.
using a disguise, even in fact, of the fact that they are the beings that they are foretelling, in a sense. So this is extremely unfortunate, and that there are very many in the spirit world, unfortunately, who are this deceptive, and that they will actually come out with anything exactly the same way as you have people who groom children in the physical world, I understand, for different kinds of sexual favors and that kind of thing, and different kinds of behavior, perhaps even meeting them in order to murder them or something like that. And this is exactly the same thing that can happen. Their behavior transfers into the spirit world, unfortunately, along with their negative energy. This, my dear friends, is the reality of the situation, that this isn't something which is uncommon, but unfortunately has become more and more so, more and more common, and it needs to be dealt with in a very factual way, in a very understanding way, that is both giving and receptive as well, because you have to be really on your toes as far as the medium concerned with trying to unravel this matter. And I say, my dear friend, it is extremely difficult.
Yeah, I can understand that, definitely. Thank you, Gregory. Thank you, Sylvie.
Oh, well, thank you for your call, Bernie.
That's
call
really
again.
Helpful. And,
good. It was good to have I was just going to say, it was good to have a real-life situation that we could discuss.
Well, yeah, and it's very real, believe me. And, you know, I just hope, you know, the youngsters out there, if they ever listen to this, can take, or their parents can take heed, because it is very real, very real.
Yes, absolutely so.
Yeah.
As it will become even more evident the more that physical states are interacted with. That's
yeah.
the point, really. And it's, however, part of the situation is of bringing the children's minds and consciousness under control. Part of this is actually to do with their behavior, their altered behavior, in order to actually circumnavigate their way around these energies. As they have now become unleashed within the household and within their lives, they are actually going to be quite difficult to remove.
Yeah.
As I say, this is not the case of just snipping the cord or something between the spirit and the physical body.
Looks like I've got my work cut out then.
yes, as I understand that there are a lot of children in this position.
Well, there are, unfortunately. There
yes.
are.
Yes, over 30. Yes.
Oh, what, you mean with where the other children, these
yes.
two children are that she was talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, well, apparently they've been doing it in schools, in the school as well. So.
For some time.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah, so you're right there. Okay, thank you very much, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thanks, Bernie.
Thank you so
much. No problem,
yeah.
thank you.
Friend.
Lots of love.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, excellent. So, Bernie, wonderful medium.
Yes, absolutely so.
We'll have to get her on the show sometime.
Yes, absolutely. So the situation here, you see, I know that perhaps many people may be thinking aghast that they've never heard of such a thing or would not possibly entertain that in their vibration and that kind of thing. But actually, this is a problem which can hit anyone at any time. And that this is why it is so important that you really, as a medium, as a spirit medium, communicating with the spirit world, that you verify exactly who it is, who the entities are that say that they are communicating with you. It's most important as well that you have good recognition skills about the energies that you work with as a working medium. Please do not think that you know it all, and that this isn't something, never something that can harm or affect you. However, we're talking here essentially about children, and you can see now from this little situation that we have had revealed to us that these children may at times become awesomely at risk to do with their welfare and their whole lifetime experience.
Well, actually, it's affecting their whole family now, though, isn't it?
Yes, I understand that.
You just said that they're being affected at home, and the parents are feeling it too, getting bothered by them.
Yes, it's not only that, but actual physical movements and things moving and that kind of thing in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually becoming quite a physical effect.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And so I understand that many people would call this poltergeistic material,
mm-hmm.
and those kinds of negative energies. The point is that remembering that these have come from an energy of a very loving persona to begin with, that they felt quite all right and at ease to communicate with.
Well, yes, it's having a bit of fun, isn't it, though?
Yes, and that's part of the problem, really. They have not really understood the full fact of the matter because they didn't think it was fact. They just thought it was a game. And then when it began and the glass moved on its own, that they just carried on with it.
Okay. If you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, then we'd love to hear from you. It's free phone 877-876-5227 in the USA, and Canada is 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222, but that one is not toll-free, I'm afraid. So, okay, what about, what advice would you give to a teenager, let's say, who is open to spirit, who can communicate with spirit quite readily and always has been able to,
yes,
and is going through the party scene. What advice on being mindful when linking with the spirit world and closing themselves down and when to do it and when to not to do it and that sort of thing?
Yes, absolutely.
Because
so,
that can be a game too, can't it?
Yes, well, actually, unfortunately, it can be a game, not just in this situation, but I understand quite a few people do this as well. I'm talking about adults. That they will communicate with spirit when having a drink, when using alcohol, for example. And that is something which is should never, ever happen, ever. Not for any reason. Alcohol is something which actually diminishes the physical brain function and your ability to react. It also diminishes the vibration of your very being because it's a placebo effect. So that actually what you are displaying is not the true energy of who you are. It's a chemical interaction that happens with you physiologically. So I would suggest, my dear friend, that for a teenage person who goes to a party, that you never communicate with the spirit world in such an environment if you are going to partake in some kind of alcohol or other substance which changes your metabolic rate, which changes the way in which you think and maintain a grip upon your reality. There are perfectly better ways to use time to communicate with the spirit world, which are better done outside of that kind of environment. Because after all, what you are doing is you are wanting to become happy. You are wanting to have fun and to be able to experience that enjoyment. Communicating with the spirit world should never be regarded in that same way.
It's not a party trick, basically.
No.
I mean, in that instance, would that be something, I mean, that should make it obvious that it's not right if their guides, if they think they're communicating with their guides and their guides are giving them messages?
Yes.
Surely any self-respecting guide would be a little choosier when they do that. Is that not the case?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's not. Many on our side of life who become guides and helpers to people in physical walk of life oftentimes they will do anything that they can in order to make communication, to make it work. And sometimes they won't necessarily be that choosy about the environment in which that happens.
Now, with the boundaries.
Yes, yeah. And I understand that people would say, oh, well, surely then that spirit guide mustn't be of the right energy or something like that. But that's actually not the case. It's the physical person that's not of the right energy.
Mm.
The spirit guide is just trying to help,
yeah,
however they are able.
Mm.
But what I'm saying is that the depleted energy and negative energy, dysteric energy, which happens around people who have consumed large amounts of alcohol or other inebriating substances because of the chemical interaction, means to say that your vibration is not the same as if you were clear thinking, beautifully edifying love from deep within yourself, because of your affection and your emotion for others. That doesn't mean to say the same emotion applies when people have an inebriated emotional effect. That is, they get all teary-eyed mm-hmm. and that kind of thing when they're actually, they've consumed a large amount of alcohol. So that isn't something which you can bring about that effect either. It's clearly saying, my dear friends, that to all the best intents and personalities of the world, my dear friends, even if you had a person with a great big ego, and the spirit world is still going to interact with them the best way that they can in order to try to help that person along in their journey and their pathway. Even though some may cite that egotistical viewpoint of that physical being is, surely spirit should never be attracted to such a being. Well, but that's part of the physical dressing that person has made for themselves. It's quite clearly to say that just because a person is a medium doesn't make them a nice human being. I know that many people will find that very offensive. I am sorry I offend you.
Well, no, because not all...
But it's the truth.
Not all mediums get on with each other anyway, do they?
No, and very often you will find that people who are of certain mediumistic qualities aren't necessarily free of ego either. So the whole situation is not to do with whether your beautiful spirit guide is picking you because you're a beautiful being. It's more a case of who they can work with.
Okay. I want to get this question in.
Yes,
we've only got about 4 minutes left.
Yes.
How does a child shut down? A teenager, I mean, obviously you can't tell a small child that. That's not something that's going to be possible, is it?
You can teach a child from as little as the age of 4 or 3 to meditate.
Yeah. Okay. But what about, you know, if they are communicating with the spirit world, like we were talking about, let's say, for instance, these teenagers.
Yes.
How do you tell them? How do you say?
Bring about the element of control.
Absolutely. How do you close yourself down physically, mentally?
Well, you have to say an invocation. You have to be able to come back into the physical state. I know that we're not necessarily talking about an out-of-body experience here. We may be talking about someone who is communicating clairvoyantly or something like that. They have to learn how to ask of their energies, the energies who are with them, to simply stand back or to move aside. And this is really all to do with a matter of training over a period of time. It's why people have to really train to become a medium, in a sense. I know that mediums are born and all of that, but the situation still has to be about the element of control. And if you have a person who is constantly open, they are never going to learn about their own life plan because they're always open to the spirit world. It means to say that they're also always open to attack.
So they ask them to stand back.
Yes.
But how do they close down?
Well, this matter of closing down, that's a bit of a strange thing as well, because you don't actually have to it's not really something that's such a big shift. If you are dealing with matters to do with, shall we say, to do with clairvoyance or something like that, or even clairsentience, however you open up, you are opening up in prayer or an invocation. You are opening yourself to the spirit world, and then you are working. So it's really just to do with working in that energy. I know that a lot of people are taking great store by their chakric energies and how you open and close those energies, those energy patterns, in order to accept incoming energy from the spirit world, from the ether world. And perhaps this is oftentimes confused with these higher spirited energies which people say that they are communicating with, that in fact then become dystoic, because they're actually not. So part of the problem is that people have these different ways of opening themselves up to the spirit world in the beginning. So it depends entirely upon how they have brought that about in their life experience.
Okay, if it's
personally,
a child...
Yes.
If it's a child and they don't know how they communicate with the spirit world, it just happens, how do they close themselves down? Because they don't actually open themselves up. So how do they...
Yes. Well, this has to be then a system of gradual understanding. That's what I'm saying. So if a child has never closed themselves down, then it has to be brought into the classroom, really. It has to be said, well, then what we're going to do is we're going to do a series of exercises. And this series of exercises is for you to actually purposefully make contact with your spirit friend and then to ask your spirit friend to leave. And then as they leave, you actually bring yourself into your ordinary state of mind.
And then close in prayer.
And then close in prayer.
And then don't think about them.
And then don't think, don't bring another thought into it.
Get back to the material plane.
Yes, absolutely so. Because as soon as you have another thought and you create that thought, it may be that because of the fact you haven't actually placed that as a part of your behavior already, that it simply just opens it back up again, which is obviously the way that people who haven't opened and closed in prayer or invocation are actually coming adrift in their understanding.
Don't look for it. Okay.
Exactly.
All right, then. Well, thank you very much, Gregory.
Thank you so. God bless. Thank
God bless. And we hope you've enjoyed this show. Thank you very much for your phone call. And do visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And I'd like to say thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focus on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
$5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.